All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubois. And have you ever wondered how an international student became a real estate millionaire in just 2 years? Today, Varun Batra from Southern Alberta reveals his secrets to success. Flips, BRRRRs, creative holding strategies. Stick around, guys, and we're going to find out how he turned 200% profit on a single deal. Varun, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks, man. I'm very good. How about you?
Just surviving, you know, getting through this winter. But you know, we're nice and warm inside, and we get to talk about real estate, which is my favorite topic. So, you know, we were talking before the show. There's a lot to talk about, but let's rewind it right to the beginning. How did you get started in real estate?
It's a long journey, but a short period.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here as an international student, as you mentioned, right? With not a clear mindset. Like, I had a clear mindset I would be doing something big in my life, but not sure what I wanted to do. So I started my studies in psychology, some other course. Then I saw, like, oh shit, man, this college education is not what I want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Switched to business administration, still saw, like, yeah, they're actually, the stuff they're teaching me is not working in the real world, because I tried a marketing company. I started my own marketing company when I was in India.
Mm-hmm.
And like, man, the marketing they're teaching here doesn't work in today's world. So
yeah.
I kind of try to just, then I try to complete my course in as much as short time I can. So I
mm-hmm.
completed my course, get my papers for the work permit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during, like, COVID hit in that time also, it was 2020. Everybody
mm-hmm.
was being in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people waste their time or something. But I was always, like, learning something. E-commerce,
Yeah.
I wasted a lot of time in COVID also. Like, I'm not saying I didn't. I did a lot of. But I was like, I need to do something. This is the time I got, right? Where I got this free time I can think to try different things. And real estate came in when I just graduated in August 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to graduate in December 2020, but as I said, I accelerated my studies. So I completed it before, and I was still doing two jobs when I was a student, about like 10 to 12 hours each, and paid off my fees by myself. Never asked my parents. I paid three times extra fees than the domestic students, right? So I was like always, you know, putting money first to have that comfort that I'm not living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I graduated, I had a little bit of money saved up, right? Because I paid off all my fees and stuff. Even it was $30,000 for 1.5 year, right? And so after that, I have something saved up and I wanted to put it somewhere. I tried stocks, didn't work. And I knew I would get into real estate because I read Rich Dad Poor Dad before, right? But it clicked with the one video through Stephen Graham. And that second book that really got me started was Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller. Wonderful book.
Yeah.
It goes from the fundamental and basics of the real estate to scaling it up, right? And I still feel that there are my fundamentals today up to this date. I was doing delivery job after graduating, right? Delivery, and I have a job at the other place. So I was looking, right? And I start seeing these houses now because I was listening to the book, and which I never focused before, for sale, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just start calling them up to just understand. I didn't even know a single thing about houses in Canada. Because structurally, it's completely different than India. And like everything, you know, how it gets sold with lawyers and stuff, how it, you know.
Yeah.
It's completely different. But I just picked up the phone, gave them a call. Whenever I'm doing deliveries, I'll take pictures of the address and save it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give them a call later when I get home in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So during that process, I interviewed like 20, 25 agents, because on the other side, I was learning. And by the time I found Bigger Pockets podcast, I was learning what kind of agent I need to work with. What is my criteria for the property, right? as in what do I want to do? Because I wanted to put minimum money down, right? And that's what the whatever I was learning, I was applying here with agents to see which agent's gonna work with me and who understand investing actually. Because there's all the agents who are gonna say we understand it, but I would say only 10% do.
Maybe 10%. If there's 2,000 agents, there might be 200 that understand it. And then probably only 10% of those that are any good at it.
And
So now it's like
multi-family
20
and
people.
amazing kept counting 10% who just basically understand what is actual cash flow, what is I'm trying to do with the property I want, and then niche down more. There are specific agents who just understand that part of investing.
So
But yeah,
how long until you got into your first property?
so October I started, or September or October I started looking. And then I found an agent in November, and he referred me mortgage broker. So I talked with about 25 to 30 people that time, of mortgage brokers and the lenders, and almost all of them said no, I cannot get a house. I was on work permit, just a fresh work permit, just a month old
The
work
PR,
permit.
yeah.
And I was not a permanent resident at all,
Not
not
yet.
even close right now, just a work permit holder. And then I have two jobs, which one I started because one of the mortgage broker told me, hey, you had a history at this job at McDonald's. And then I started, so I was doing minimum wage jobs when I started looking for house already, right? And so he said, go back to that job. You have a history there. Maybe we can connect it. So I went back. So, but about 30 lenders, including big banks, big five banks, a lot of mortgage out of Ontario, out of BC, out of Calgary. I talked with like everybody I could, right? Get me approved. And in March, I have my in March and February, I have about 15 inquiries on my credit, which most of the people are gonna say, oh, that's a big no-no, right?
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's gonna hurt your credit.
But I understood credit pretty well, and I was like, it's between 45 day period. I will be fine. At that time, within 2 years in Canada, my credit score was above 720. They were like, oh, how? I was like, because I got the credit cards right away when I got into Canada. Just two credit cards, take them on time and keeping the, I want to add a point here for your viewers. If you keep your credit utilization under 10%, it boosts up your credit so fast. Let's say
Yeah,
30 banks take
people are
10%,
always running it
10%.
full out, they're running it full when the when or they think the other misconception is that like pay it all off down to zero. That hurts all that can hurt you too. So you got to carry something, you got to pay it on time, but don't have it too high and don't have it low. Don't just do mass payments. There's a whole game to it. So building credits, we could go we could probably have an entire credit podcast called Building
There's
Credit.
another thing which I learned, which very less few people know. So when you do when you get the credit card, right? If you want to use more, you can, but just pay it off 90% when you before your payment statement comes out. That's what get reported to the credit bureau.
Every time they press the statement,
That depressed statement. That's what I learned. Even I used a lot of my credit, 90% of it, I'll pay it off before I'll like come to 5% of utilization. And that helped me a lot.
Yeah, the utilization is huge. My brother's a big like he's always doing credit card stuff. Like it's a whole game. So you got finally approved in March then.
No, actually, I got approved after I have a live deal in hand. I start putting offers already with. When mortgage brokers were saying we know, but I found a good agent, couple of good agents out of that 25, 30. I found like two agents, good agents that were understanding and choose one to work with them. And do you want me to go into that first deal? What I
Yeah, tell me
did?
a little bit. Tell the people at home, how'd you get into your first deal? Because there's a lot of young people who don't have, or maybe they have good credit, maybe they have two jobs, but they still feel like it's unattainable. So, like, tell us How'd you get into your first deal? What were the numbers like,
Yeah.
and what was your experience
So
like?
it was really tight. Like my that debt to income ratio was like 48 or total debt to service ratio, right? Usually it should be 46, I think, right? Like my numbers were really marginally there. I was getting approved about 215. But the crazy thing is after talking to 30 lenders, having 14 to 15 credit inquiries, I got approved directly with the bank CIBC. And I'm not saying it's CIBC gonna do it because I tried to do it with somebody else, no. But at that time, how I talked with the financial planner, how I put everything out, she got exception for me because I had 2 years of history with those two jobs, right? And I was on work permit, and I did the research because most of the people don't know that you can do 5% down. The main reason I was getting from many people because I wanted to do 5% down, not 20% or anything. First few people were like, especially people from Ontario, they're like, oh, you gotta pay 20% taxes because you are non-permanent resident. That's a myth also. You don't. It's only GTA area that you have to pay 20% foreign buyer tax, not in like Winnipeg, Lethbridge, Calgary, or stuff like that. No,
Yeah,
nothing.
small other markets, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that misconception. Then otherwise, like, oh, you cannot get it with own work permit. So I did my own research. I went to CMHC's website. I went to Canada Warranty website. At that time, it was Genworth, which is Cision now, right? And I did my own research, going in deep in terms and stuff, right? So I was the one person going to bank, explaining the CIBC big bank, hey, this is how it's gonna work. And mortgage brokers. So in the end, I got two approvals on hand, one from ICICI Bank and CIBC. It was through mortgage broker, this one directly with. They were about, they got exception about like I was approved for 215, but my deal came out to be at 246. But we started that was listed for 270. It just came on the market. And I was looking for the houses from last 6 months, but I had a patience because I knew my criteria, what I wanted to buy. And how, what will put me ahead? I don't want to just buy for the sake of buying. That's where I think people make mistakes. One of my friend
Yeah,
I knew
doing
emailed
deals for
them.
the sake of doing deals.
That's right. That's right. And my return on my first house, you'll be crazy. Like you're gonna say like it's crazy. It's more than 170%.
So did you do a flip or did you burr it or what did you do?
Without doing burr or nothing. So what did I do? That was listed for 270. It was three. I wanted three bedroom upstairs and two downstairs at least. Sweeter property, under 50, which was really hard. Every realtor was saying, "Oh no, you don't get it." So we start putting offer on this 271 after like looking more than 60 to 70 houses in last 5 to 6 months, right? And this one, we got it at 250, got removed the financing condition, inspection comes, we hooked it. We hooked the seller pretty well. We got like, yeah, we are done, right? We're done. And they had another offer. Still, we got another discount of $7,000. But
The
what
nibble.
did I do? I do said, okay, the bathroom needs to be redone. I need a cash back instead of giving me the discount. So I got $6,000 discount. My mortgage was 246. I put $13,000 down payment at 2.18%, and I knew the mortgage, the interest rate's gonna go up. Like everybody knew that. Like who's just understand real estate, even in the start, knew that. I tried to increase my mortgage from 5 to 10 years, but that was messing with all the underwriting, so I just left it there. Yeah, but. So where I was a value add, that was the value add, the bathroom renovations and the property was left by messy tenants. That's where I was able to get the deal. And I knew if I renovate the bathroom, clean up the property and paint here and there, right? This property is worth 290 to 300 off the bat. But you will be amazed. Like when I bought that property, I left my job, that second job that I got. Remember, I was telling you that I got that second job just because I have a history. I hated that job. It was a
Yeah.
McDonald's.
It's a hard
McDonald's
job. It's not for everyone.
flipping burgers and stuff. I hated that job,
Well, I don't
man.
even think you have to flip them now. Isn't there a machine that flips them for you?
No. In my town, it's still, you gotta do,
Oh,
beat
that
meat,
thing,
pretty
it's
easy.
like flaps up and you burn your hand on the top.
And I hated that job, literally. Like, I hated the people there. Some of the people I liked it, of course, but every day I was saying I was doing 9 to 4 at McDonald's and 5 to 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. at Domino's.
There you
And
go.
I come home, I do 1 hour of my Amazon e-commerce because I was doing e-commerce. So I
Of
would fulfill
course,
my
yeah.
orders. I will fulfill my orders and sleep at like 3 or 4 o'clock after talking with the parents and wake up at 8:30, get ready,
Do it again.
run to McDonald's at 9 a.m.
So
And
now you're free from the McDonald's, certainly. What are you doing these days? Now it's 2023. What does your business look like now?
so right now I'm doing flips, bursts, creative deals, agreement for sales, and I have a multifamily under contract. Working on the financing. We're like almost 60-70% done. Just trying to get CMHC involved because then it will be better. And it's a 30-unit building, two commercial, right, and 28 residential units, and that within 2.5 years of buying my first house. And
Yeah, real
now,
estate. Yeah, go, sorry, go ahead.
yeah. So now I wanna tell you one thing. When I did my first house, I wasn't able to do another deal for 1 year and about 3 months. And I was frustrated, man, because I left McDonald's to put time in real estate so I can, do more deals. I wanted to do two houses that year. Partner up JV. I had connections with the good investors out of BC and stuff, but it wasn't just working out because, still in the when you're new, it's hard to find deals on MLS, of course, right? And I was not getting it. Like, why my JVs are not doing stuff with me, right? But everybody who is listening, they're gonna get to that time. I would just say to them that keep the patience and keep putting in the work. Like, I was giving 12 hours of work without getting paid for 1 year and 3 months. Right. But the next deal that came, I was thinking, why I don't get another job? I have a business administration. I have an accountant who's willing to give me a job. Why I'm not getting a second job? But I was only thinking that if I get a job, I'm going to get comfortable with that paycheck. That's a drug.
Yeah, you
No.
got to watch out for comfort because it's easy to be like, oh, I'm going to go back to work. I need a steady paycheck or something to do. It's hard to, a lot of people will work very hard for somebody else, but when it comes down to working for themselves, they won't put in more than an hour or two. They'll go and happily trade 8 hours or 9 hours to McDonald's, but give them the opportunity to do real estate and make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they can't put in a couple of hours. You got to take the same, you got to put that hat on and go to work for yourself. Otherwise, it's never going to happen.
I say it this way. You can respect and take the orders from somebody else to wake up at 8 o'clock and work for them 8 hours. But you cannot respect yourself and take orders from you and work even
Yeah,
six
you're
hours.
just like, I'll wake up later. I've done enough for today. Close the laptop. You gotta stay disciplined. That's the
And
one
it was,
thing
man,
is.
I was like so frustrated with talking with my dad and that one realtor I found, right? Man, I'm doing everything too, I had a commercial deals in contracted during that 1 year and some month period. I had a multiple, residential, but nothing closed. And I was getting frustrated, I tried to get into wholesaling. I was trying to do commercial. Like, I was trying to do whatever, right? But now I realized it wasn't a waste. I built connections. I learned a lot, new strategies. Doesn't matter if I didn't make money or closed any deal. The one deal I got after, right off the bat, as is, was 70,000 in it. Right? And that's where I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's real now.
Property I bought for 140 was appraised for 220. Same condition. Nothing to be done yet. Right. And I want to tell one thing to people. I retired by buying my first property. First level retirement, I already got it when I bought my first property. Which people
Nice.
like, what the heck, how? Right? I was doing two jobs. Second job was giving me 16 to 1700 after taxes, right? And after out of that, 1200 goes to my rent with my sister. And now my mortgage payment, all the cost is like 14, 1500. And my upstairs tenants pay me $1,600 plus utilities. And then I have downstairs, I rent out one room and stuff. I get about $1,000 in cash flow, living for free, and my sister is living for free.
There you go. So
And then I have
that
$1,000
burden
cash
of paying the bills is now like alleviated. And I find that that for a lot of people allows them to really take off with their business
flow.
because
Man,
they're not pressurized, you know?
that's what I was like, okay, second job, I was giving it 30 hours. Now that 30 hours belong to my business. That's why I left that second job. And I could have even leave the first job, but I knew I need to get some financing and all the other things. So I kept that to just, keep going and don't get too much comfortable with this income, because I don't use my real estate income for myself. It all goes back into my business.
That's a good
So
plan. So
that's what I kept
what's
it separate.
what does the future look like for you? What are you looking to do in the future?
So get into more multifamilies. Like right now I'm at five rentals, and we did about two to three flips this year. Made first time made really good amount of money, right? I spent a lot of money in renovations, which was really good. I was like, man, shit, I'm spending this much money that I would never imagine making make here. But yeah, within 2 years, and things kept exponentially growing after that, 1 year and whatever period of hold. But that's the thing, there was a lot of learning. And now my plan is more on commercial side, multifamily, right? And slowly get into learning the raising side. I have seen friends who raise money and do things. Personally, I would like to do as much as I can with my own capital or bank's capital. I know it's hard financing, and especially at my age. Guess my age.
If I'm doing the math, because this isn't fair, because I think you told me. I think you're 24.
23.
There, see, I already kind of knew though. You spilled the beans
Yeah.
in the pre-show because we were talking about this, that, and the
Yeah,
other.
yeah.
So, I really love it when young people, because I'm a little bit older, I'm going to be 40 this year. And so I really love it when people start real estate early, because I always think to myself, I started when I was 30, and I always imagined what it would be like if I started when I was 20 and all the like, because now it's like you're in the market. So like that property that you're holding, you have so much more time for it to like grow and pay down, and you're already in the game, because it's not so much like when you get in, it's how long you are in,
That's right.
especially when it comes to like buy and hold and buy rent refinance. So, when you're looking for, are you still having challenges finding investors now because you're working on this, that, and the other? There must be people who are like, I want to invest with this guy.
Yeah, that's what I was, that 1 year and 3 months, I was struggling with that stuff, right? Because I didn't have a track record. Now I have, but I'm more like a person, do I want to work with them? Or no.
Yeah, you
And
get to kind of pick.
now I'm still good with the private lenders and the banks. I'm still secure financing with them. And the thing is, the flips we did, it's AFS, so we didn't have to get financing. The only financing we had to do was a renovation, which I did get private lender to give me a promissory note. Then I used my line of credit, or my partner comes in, right? And we were able to do it with mostly without raising much of money.
Yeah, that's a great strategy these days. Creative financing. While the banks are tight,
And
there's existing mortgages everywhere, right?
I cannot tell you how much it saves you when things go 4, 5, 6, 7 months more. Doesn't matter, because you're not paying 17%, 18%, 15%.
You're paying like the mortgage.
I'm paying like a 3% rate. Not even my current rate, if I get to get a mortgage these days, is 6.5 or 7%. And I'm paying 3% on these AFSs. And if I have to
Exactly, right?
for another 2, 3 years, give seller some more money, no problem. Right? That's where I keep my flips more towards that side. Where I have a like that 300% deal. That's good. You could say it's a, you know, deal. It's a deal of the show or whatever, right?
Deal of the
I
year.
got, yeah, I got them for 85,000.
Like
And
that's the amount of money down.
no, just the
That's
property.
the purchase
And they got
price.
a
And then so what did you
7,000.
sell it for?
I didn't sell it. I bought it.
So you still own it today.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
do Airbnb, right? And that generates me about in gross about 4,000, right?
There you go, right? What are you gonna do? You can't shake a stick at that. And that's the
And
thing that people don't really recognize is there's a lot of vanity, for instance, in Vancouver and Toronto. People want to do real estate there. But when you think about it, it's like if you're getting into real estate because you want other people to see you doing real estate, that's probably not a good reason to get into real estate. The reason you should be getting into real estate is to make wealth and to you go get cash flow and things like that. And these big cities like Toronto, Vancouver, I don't see the numbers playing like that. Like there's more safe starting positions anyway, for
that's right.
people to make money, you know, especially Southern
People don't
Alberta.
find
There's
it
so many
genuine.
people.
15, 17%, man. Until I did four deals, I was still not comfortable going private lender because I just feel like if something goes wrong and you have to extend your things for 6 months
A year, whatever.
and you're out of business, not just with this property
It
and with
goes
other.
quick. It goes up, and it goes up. It doesn't go down. Because I always say in real estate, you know, the contractor has to get paid, the real estate agent has to get paid, the lawyer has to get paid, the other side has to get paid, everyone in the deal has to get paid. The only optional payment in the entire deal is you. So, you know, make sure that you're looking out for yourself because everybody else is looking out for themselves. So make sure you do the same.
Two things I did focus on was keeping my renovations to not high, like crazy renovations going down and stuff. Because like I know people get into that when they go
Yeah,
through
too
COVID and
much.
stuff. James Kellen is an Instagram guy also. I was talking with him about it. And he's like, yeah, if you can get the maybe it's $10,000 less in the value, you know, but you have to spend $50,000 less and
Yeah,
it's still a workable unit. I'm
exactly.
going to do that for my multifamily,
Well, in
not.
the time too, right? People don't think about like they're always trying to like get max refi. And you look at it, you say, okay, but what if it takes you 6 months longer because you got to get a permit and a beam and blah, 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 blah. It's like do the best use. And sometimes the best use of the property, like you're saying, is to just leave it alone and to update the bathroom.
Yeah, update the bathroom, paint it. Paint makes a big difference. I'm not
Huge.
like my properties, I maintain it. I'm not a, you know, slumlord or anything. I keep check on my tenants and stuff. But sometimes you just don't need to update the kitchen. It doesn't increase that value as much as people say,
It's
unless it's a
vanity,
luxury
yeah.
house. If you're trying to sell it out, yes, that makes a difference. But if it's a burr strategy, have an appraisal in hand. Have a good appraisal or a realtor in hand who can tell you. Don't listen to videos or, you know. There is few good content out, like how we are trying to put out, but there's a lot of fancy real estate gurus out there who are trying to, you know, do a lot of stuff which just doesn't make sense.
That's like my brother always says, it's not so much about how much money you made, but money that you didn't spend. So money not spent is earned.
See, yeah, that's right. And see, Manzoor, right, Sayed. That guy have a lot of really real estate experience, and he have a lot, right, in real estate. But he doesn't, you know, come up and do that stuff. And people who have not much, just did like 2, 3 deals, 4 deals, they're coming to video like they're the top G and all that stuff.
Yeah,
And
you gotta be careful where watch where your supply is coming from, because it's there's a saying my realtor says, the best pilots fly under the radar. So If people want to connect with you, they want to find out more, they want to invest with you, they want to send you a deal, how do they connect with you? How do they find you?
It's mostly Instagram, Varun/Batra at 18, or my website, localcashforhomebuyers.com, right? And those are the best things they can, connect with me. I think I mentioned the Instagram, Varun_Batra18.
There you
That's
go. That's
my
the
Instagram.
easiest way. Instagram's the way to go.
It's
So
easy
I
to.
really appreciate you being on the show. And I think people, if they stuck around and they listened through the whole thing, they're going to get a lot of gems in here. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. I learned a lot from talking with you, and hopefully we provided some good content to people.
Yeah, for sure. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you.